This segment of the Bass Kayak and Beers podcast is sponsored in part by Dark Horse Tackle. Go to darkhorsetackle.com and use promo code BKB5 to save an extra $5 when you build your own box. Douglas Outdoors, serious rods for serious anglers. Norsk Lithium. The lithium kayak battery you need is just a click away. Go to norsklithium.com. Catch Outdoors, the official measuring board for all three national trails. Go to catchoutdoors.com and use promo code BKB5 to save 5% on your next online purchase. What is going on, everyone? Hope you all having a great Thursday. Bassmaster Kayak Series Championship just ended. We won't know the results until tomorrow, but I am excited about the results, see what's going to happen. I'm actually going to be at the Bassmaster Kayak Series on tomorrow. I'm flying out tomorrow morning to Tulsa and then heading back the same day, but I'm going to check out some of the stuff going around in the Classic, and hopefully be at the award ceremony for the Bassmaster Kayak Series Championship, kind of support the anglers that, made it all the way there. And so if you're going to be at the Bassmaster Kayak Series or Championship or the Expo, the Classic Expo, I'll probably be spend most of the time either at the award ceremony when they hand out the awards. And other than that, I'll probably be at the Douglas booth. That's Douglas, my rod sponsor. So with that being said, big thank you to our sponsors, Norsk Lithium, Douglas Outdoors. If you're looking for a battery, you can hit the link on my bio for either Instagram or Facebook. Check out Norsk Lithium. If you're interested in one of those batteries, hit me a message. I can hook you up with a discount. I just can't say the discount publicly, but if you're serious about getting some lithium batteries, follow me on social media, Instagram, DM me on Facebook or Instagram, or email me at basskayakandbeers.com, gmail.com, sorry. Dark Horse Tackle and Catch Outdoors. By the way, we do have a giveaway coming up here at the end of the month. We're going to announce the winners at March 27. It's going to be our quarterly giveaway. We got a catch board from or measuring board from Catch Outdoors. We have a $100 gift card for Mariner Sales. I'm also proud to mention that I am now affiliated as an ambassador with Mariner Sales. So there, you know, we're kicking off the announcement by giving out a $100 gift card at the end of March, which is going to be announcing the Advanced Kayak Angler episode that airs March 27th. So again, $100 gift card from Mariner Sales, catch board from Catch Outdoors, a $120 value in baits for Dark Horse Tackle. So they're giving away a 3-month subscription. Each box is valued at least $40. It's 3 months, so that's about $120. You don't need to purchase anything for that giveaway. If you win the Dark Horse Tackle, you get 3 months subscription. That's it. You don't have to sign up for the 1 year to get the 3 months off. It's just one off. If you want to renew that afterwards, you're happy with the boxes, you want to continue the subscription, go ahead and do that after the 3 months are up, but you're not obligated to pay anything. And then, those are the three. I'm also going to meet up with Douglas Outdoors at the Bassmaster Kayak Series Championship, the Expo. So I may be getting some stuff from them. So in order to take part in the giveaway, you have to go to Apple Podcasts, and it has to be Apple Podcasts because that's the only one that you can actually leave a review. Leave us a review, rate the podcast. So you rate it, leave a review, and then make sure in the review you either add your social media or you can leave your name in the review. That way we'll know who you are and how to contact you. And again, we'll be announcing the winners at the end of March, the Advanced Kayak Angler that airs, I think it's March 27. So great prices. Go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, rate the podcast, and you entered. No purchase necessary. So that's pretty much it. Also, if you want to save on, if you're buying any hedge products, you want to save, you can hit the link on our bio and add BKB5 coupon at the end when you pay, and you save $5. And also, if you're interested in either monthly subscription or build your own box, which you don't have to have a subscription for that, for Dark Horse Tackle, you can also hit the link on the bio and add BKB5 and save $5 off your build your own box. So if you want to do the subscription, save $5 out of the first box. All right, so we got two great guests for today. We're going to be talking about girls. Fishing is for girls. Katie Baca and Wesley Gray were nice enough to join us. And we're going to be talking about some of the challenges that women face in this sport. I know as the sport is growing, we get more and more women involved in kayak bass fishing. It's also going to be kind of like educational stuff for us male, because sometimes we may say or mansplain, as they say, or try to show appreciation, but in the wrong way, and can be taken the wrong way. That's what I should say. And sometimes we need to educate ourselves about that. So Katie and Wesley going to give us their perspective. And honestly, I say that because sometimes I get nervous doing these episodes because I have a primitive caveman male brain. So if at any point in this show, I ask a question that makes me look like the most sexist guy on the face of this earth, please believe me, it's strictly out of ignorance and not any malice. So with that being said, let's bring in our guest. First of all, Katie, how are you doing, Katie? Thank you so much for coming on.
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And also Wesley Gray, she's been on our show about the third time you've been on our show, right, Wesley?
I think so, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for you guys for coming up to the podcast. Let's get started. First of all, before we dive into this, have you kept an eye on the Kayak Series Championship? I think
I looked at it this morning, but I haven't looked at it since maybe like 11 o'clock or so.
Yeah,
it's gonna be exciting. I checked it this afternoon, and I was really pulling for G, but right the last time I saw the standings, Drew Gregory had pulled up ahead of him. So
yes.
I'm still crossing my fingers for G, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I think we're all in Texas are rooting for G.
G's fabulous. We have
and, it wouldn't be the first time that G pulls out a big win at the end. We saw it. I've mentioned this on the podcast plenty of times on the Eagle Mountain Lake at the KBF Trail 1 and 2. Like day one, he was trailing by 5 or 6 inches to Jody Quinn. And at the 27 minutes ago, he catches like a 24-pounder. Jody Quinn had 109, and 109 came up second to G, who had 110 in the last 30 minutes.
That was a pretty epic tournament too.
I know, right? I was switching fishing close to them, not in the same area, but I was like, man. So I wouldn't put it past G, but I also understand Drew Gregory is another hammer. And he had like a 3.5-inch lead, and I think his smallest bass was a 14.25. So he could have easily called up, you know, another 3 or 4 inches and take it away with. But we'll see. Congratulations to everybody that got on the 10th place. I know Steve Owens announced it a couple of hours ago. I was busy at work, so I couldn't watch the announcement. But congratulations to everybody made it to top 10. Everybody that caught a check, by the way. So anyways, with that being said, let's get started. Katie, let's start with you. I know you recently became a mother for the first time, but before that, you did some kayak bass fishing. How has motherhood, you know, kind of like changed everything for you as far as kayak bass fishing?
Well, it's definitely completely flipped the script on our day-to-day life. For the last 6 years, going on 7 years, Ryan and I pretty much lived on the water. We averaged like 200 days a year on the water and did an absurd amount of tournaments every year. And we're traveling all over the country and whatnot. And when I found out I was pregnant, we kept that going up until I kind of got too large to comfortably be navigating a ramp all the time, to where I was afraid I might tip over. So once I got to that point, which wasn't until, I think our last event was in like August of 2022. And then she was born in January of 2023. And in last year, we fished a total of like 3 times, like 3 days. Like that's it. So to go from 200 plus days a year to 3 days in a year is a little bit of a whiplash effect. But it's been very cool just watching her grow, and it's happening ridiculously fast. I'm sure she will be holding a rod in her hand within the next 6 months.
That was my question.
Yeah, she definitely, she loves fish. And I mean, not from outside influence. Like we have a fish tank and she loves that fish tank. That was one of the first words she said was fish. Like you can't make that stuff up. One of her favorite places to go is the aquarium. So signs are looking good that she will be into fishing with us, but we are obviously not going to push that on there. That'll be totally her call. But yeah, it's been quite a change. We're hoping this year we were able to do one event for Hobie down in Florida back in January. We're hoping to do at least one or two other national events and maybe one or two local events. But right now, because she's so little, she is our priority. So yeah, it's one of those kayak bass fishing tournaments are not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah.
So there will be plenty of years in the future to make up for all the lost time. And right now it's just been fun watching her get bigger and watching all of our friends, you know, slay it out on the trails.
Do you get, like you, both you and your husband, fish tournaments, right? So, yeah. And previous to being parents, how do you manage? Like, is there a point where you're just like, we both want to enter a tournament, but you go and I'll watch the kid, or he'll go and watch the kids, or do you leave a kid with family member and in-law? How do you manage that?
So the one event, we each did one event last year, just local events down in Texas. And for that instance, we did do the trade-off, like, okay, you get to do this one on this lake, I'll do this one on this lake. So we just ran solo for those events. But this year when we did a national event, her grandparents were actually vacationing an hour away from where the tournament was being held. So we left her with grandparents and we got to go out and fish together like it was old times, and it was pretty epic. Like that was like a much needed like date weekend for us. Like, a lot of girls want to be like wine and dine and movies and all that jazz. Dude, to get out on the water for a whole weekend with him was ridiculously awesome.
Does it affect any way you're fishing? Like you're thinking like, are you worried? You know, is she okay? She with dad by herself? Is dad going to manage? Or is it going to be with the grandparents? Can they manage? And does that distract you from what you're doing competitively? Or do you just kind of like...
No, not to be honest, not at all. I know, you know, if he was in a jam or something happened, he would definitely let me know. And same with her grandparents. It was actually Ryan's parents that watched her while we were down in Florida. And especially because it was the two of them together, we were not worried at all with her being with them. They're very good with her and she has a blast hanging out with them.
That's awesome. Wesley, you're a little bit different, right? You already had a teenage son or close to teenage by the time you started kayak bass fishing and doing all the outdoor things. I know Alex, right? Does travel with you sometimes, local or national trails. How has that experience help you and him bond?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. I mean, sometimes I think he gets irritated with me because, you know, I'm like, pack your crap, dude. We're going fishing. And, you know, but I think he enjoys it. I think he has a lot of fun. It's sometimes, you know, it's the getting up early part because he's a teenager. And who wants to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to drive an hour to a boat ramp? And, you know, when I get in tournament mode, I get pretty laser focused. And so Alex really, the stuff I take him to is typically like local stuff where, you know, I'm there to have fun and for him to kind of learn a little bit more about what it means to fish a tournament, be a tournament angler. And so with those tournaments, it's really more about him than it is about me. And, I think every single tournament that he has fished with me, he has outfished me. I have not caught a limit, and he has let me know every opportunity he has. And but now he can drive. So listen,
uh-oh,
he has to learn how to back a trailer. Like he's got muscles now. I'm like, thank you. Like, will you unload my kayak for me?
Exactly. I was just gonna say it.
The man that I will let unload my kayak is Alex. Like everybody else, I'm like, don't touch my stuff. Like him. Right? So yeah, it's a lot of fun. We have a good time. So we're actually going to go to the Classic this weekend.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What day are you going to get there? Are you going to get there Saturday, right? Or Friday? No,
we're going to go Friday night. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. It's about a 6.5-hour drive for us. So as soon as he gets out of school, we're going to head that way and sleep in Friday, you know, like go to bed early on Friday and then get up early Saturday and go do all the fun things and come home on Sunday.
You see, I'm still debating whether I'm going to drive or fly. It's like a 4-hour drive.
Oh, dude. Drive.
But an hour drive. Fly. You know, no, it's like a 40-minute flight.
Well,
yeah. I don't know. Because I have to come back the same day. That's the only thing. And I was like,
don't drive. That's 8 hours of driving in one day.
Exactly. And spend more hours on the, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I know, Wesley, if you've encountered some kind of like situations on the water, Katie, and we'll talk about yours because you made a YouTube video out of it. But Katie, I know you're not that like into the social media YouTube thing outside of it. So I want to hear your stories. Have you ever gotten into a situation, whether at the boat ramp or going fishing, you know, sometimes it's early before sun up and you're in the dark, you know, on a ramp. And some of those ramps really can be kind of shady. Do you worry about that if you're by yourself or you're usually with your husband?
So most of the time I am with Ryan. But on the occasion that I have been by myself, your senses are definitely heightened when you're doing that. Fortunately, especially in Texas, all the events, even the events where there was like 100+ people, which is regular for North Texas kayak champions, we all really know each other, you know, so it's rare to get to a ramp and not recognize at least one or two other people there. But even so, there have been times where I've hit a ramp and there wasn't anybody that I recognized right away, or there wasn't anybody at all the one morning that I launched. And it's definitely a little shady at times when there's not great lighting and you can't see that well while you're looking around. But it's one of those things you just have to stay really aware of your surroundings, which is, I mean, it's the same when you're out on the water, when it's dark out. I mean, you never know who's going to come ripping around a bend and not notice you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Wesley, what about you? I know you tell us a story about for those that haven't seen the YouTube video, and what other situations do you have encountered on the water or at the boat ramp?
Oh, the game warden.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to hear the game warden story? Okay. Well, I would definitely say to like, look, go watch the snippet on my social media accounts, or the full video is on YouTube now. Yeah, that one was interesting. So, I mean, long story short, this was practice for Rayburn in middle of February.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't know, maybe about 10 o'clock or so. And I had launched my kayak and went and parked my car. And as I was leaving my car, this truck, white Ford truck, pulls into the boat ramp. And, you know, I fish Rayburn a lot. Rayburn's my home lake. So I'm super comfortable on Rayburn, not a whole lot. Like, I don't usually get nervous or anything like that. Like, the boat ramp that I launch at is pretty well known. Most people who know the area know it when they see the video. But anyway, the weird part about it was there's no fishing gear, no boat trailer, no boat, no nothing. So this truck pulls in and the driver opens his door and he starts like dropping cans out of the bottom of the driver's side door, which just rubs me the wrong way because you're throwing trash out of the boat ramp. And that just, you know, why can't we have nice things? You know, like why? This is why. It's like 10 o'clock in the morning. The passenger gets out. And this part is not like you can't hear it in the video, but the first thing he did is ask me if I was going duck hunting. And I was like, no, first of all, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. Why would I? And I was just like, yeah, nope. And the passenger's in his pajamas, like plaid pajamas and a t-shirt. I don't know. Make it make sense. And he's getting beers out of the ice chest in the back of the truck. And so I walk up to my boat and I had my GoPro running because as soon as I put my kayak in the water, I always turn my GoPro on because you never know what you're going to catch, right?
Yeah.
And anyway, so I'm standing at my boat, minding my own dang business. And the guys, like, so the boat ramp is small. I'm here and they take their truck and they pull their truck across the top of the boat ramp. So they block me off from my car, land. The only place I have to go is the water. It was just creepy. Like, why would you do that? Like, I don't understand. And rolls the window down and you have to go watch the video, but proceeds to give me the what for about like, oh, are you going fishing? Like, no, dude, like I'm taking my kayak for a walk. Like I came here to enjoy the sunset at 10 o'clock. I don't know. What do you think I'm going to do? And then whenever I was kind of short with him, it was like, well, you know, I'm a game warden on this lake. And listen, the lips that I had dipped about the trash just flew open. And I was like, did I just see a game warden throw trash cans out of his truck? Did I? Because I think I did. And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go pick him up. Okay, yeah. And so anyway, then, you know, he's like, you know, well, have a good day. And then they left. So it wasn't like this, like, super negative altercation necessarily. It was just
creepy.
Creepy, you know, and you know, it's like what I always tell people, it's like, you know, it's like you go up to somebody that you're watching eat a hamburger and saying, are you hungry? Like, no, dude, I'm just admiring this burger. Like, no, yeah, I'm going, what do you think I'm gonna do? Like, Captain Obvious.
What, that's kind of one of the angles that I wanted to take on this. By the way, Katie, you have a lot of feedback. Do you have let me see if I can try to see if I can fix it here. Let me see, check the audio for a second here. I can, yeah, I guess that reduce back. Well, maybe not. Anyways, Katie, I'm gonna just mute you for a second, and then when I ask you, I'll mute you again, okay? Sorry about that. There we go. So one of the things that I wanted to ask you or angle this episode is, what can sometimes us as guys, and maybe we may be ignorant. One example I can give you is, like, my wife always says she likes to face the door. Like, she gets to a place and she's like, what's the getaway route, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I never understand that. It's like, what do you mean, what's the getaway route? But obviously, we don't face some of the challenges you ladies face. And I'm not trying to be sexist. That's the reality of it. What are some of the things that guy needs to know? If a guy is, you know, maybe being nice and sees, hey, there's, you know, she has a big kayak. I remember when I was fishing the KBF trail, that's when I met Christine Fisher for the first time. So lines out while we're leaving, I have a PA-14 and it's heavy as heck. She has a PA-14. It's heavy as heck. And the first thing that I said, well, let me help her. But then my brain, fine, for the first time, did something right and said, you know what? Maybe she'll take it. And then she did it, by to her credit. Maybe she's going to take it like, oh, I'm a girl, I can't do it kind of thing. So I was like, hey, Christine, I'm not asking you because you're a girl. I would ask any guy that has a PA-14 because I have PA-14. Do you need help on loading your kayak? And she was like, no, I'm fine. No problem. But it says, I appreciate you wording it that way. What are some of the things that I think guys should know that you've seen behavior there? Like, you don't mean bad, but you're coming off as maybe mansplaining or not being considerate. I know you mentioned it, kind of blocking your access to your car is a big no-no.
Yeah.
And Katie, I'll start with you. Let me unmute you. What are some of the stuff that guys should know about this?
One of the biggest things is a proximity problem, especially when, you know, you've got a female by herself on a ramp, you know, especially if it's dark, if it's the end of the day or if it's very early in the morning and there's nobody else around. It's about your approach. If you don't know the person that you're walking up to, it's best to not get real close to us, especially when it's dark out. You kind of, you know, you don't have to scream at us from 100 yards away, but you also don't want to get 5 feet from us, to where we don't really have anywhere to go. Especially like Wesley said, when you get blocked in somewhere, it totally might not have occurred to them in the slightest. I mean, the fact that they were dropping beer cans out of their truck, you know, that's who knows what.
At 10 in the morning.
Who knows what condition the warden was in? I'm not speculating.
It is East Texas.
It is East Texas. I mean, it happened. But just the fact that they blocked her exit, that type of stuff, although it seems like completely innocent to somebody that's not thinking about it, it's threatening to a female, especially when you're by yourself. It's one thing, even if there's two females, that's like a whole different game. But when it's a solo female, you know, there is a level of uncomfortable when you're getting up too close, or when you are intentionally moving around someone's kayak to get on the same side as them while they're loading or unloading their gear. That's a big no-no. Like, you got to stay on the other side of my boat, you know, to where we've got a little bit of distance between us, because I don't know you. You know, it's one thing if this is somebody that, you know, we know through channels. You know, there are tons of us that talk to each other on Facebook and we've never met in person, but as soon as you meet them, you're kind of like, oh, well, that's such and such from Facebook. It's fine.
Yeah.
But when you don't have that kind of cred, or you're just a random stranger, it definitely is a little unsettling when somebody gets up in your personal space or blocks your route somewhere, whether it's to your boat or to your vehicle or any of the above.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that was the part about it that, I mean, I was agitated that they were asking me if I was going fishing, because it was just such a dumb question. But the part that really was like, and I'll tell you guys, you don't see this in the video, but I had already launched my boat. I had went and parked my car, and I was walking back to my boat when they pulled in. I actually turned around, went back to my car, and got my pistol and put it in my bibs. And it was kind of like, I saw them walk it, like I saw them pull up, and I was like, I'm very aware of any vehicle at a boat ramp, not because I'm worried about it being some random guy, but because I'm worried about my car being broke into. Mm-hmm. And anytime a vehicle shows up at a boat ramp with no fishing gear, no boat trailer, no nothing, like, you have no reason for being there. And I'm like, And so I'd actually turned around and walked back to my car, put my pistol in my bibs, and then walked to my boat. So I wasn't really that worried about them being able to get that close to me, because it would have never happened. But they should, if they would, we would have had a serious problem if one of them had gotten out of their truck.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, right? Like, especially in Texas, you can't assume anything. And yeah. I think one of the things is, again, sometimes we don't do it out of malice. It's just pure ignorance. But you might, as a guy, you might think, well, that's what I would have done if it was a guy. Yeah, but it's not. And maybe, just maybe, it will be, you know, beneficial to kind of think and put the other person's interest before yourself. And that goes for everything. There's nothing sexist about it. It's just like, hey, if you know that, if you now understand that you can come off as threatening just because you're approaching a woman, and you would have said, well, I would have approached if it was a guy. Yeah, but the other person doesn't know that.
Yeah.
So kind of like, be mindful of that. Be self-aware.
Yes.
And then always don't always get too hung up as guys.
Yeah.
Of, well, you know, it's my ride, or, you know, it's, I would just, you know, just be aware of other people. And that applies. I mean, you mentioned this on any walk of life, you can apply this, but I think especially in this scenario, what are some of the kind of like, on the funny side of this, the ignorant questions or remarks you get out there, such as like, hey, are you fishing, kind of thing? Katie, let's start with you. Have you ever had something, I'm trying to unmute you. Oh, you're muted. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll just do it for you.
All right.
Well, there's the immediate one that happened constantly. It kind of, died down as time went on, but you know, you get a lot of people that are like, oh, is your husband doing some fishing? Like, yeah, I think I have more rods standing on my boat than his, but, you know, yeah, he's fishing, you know?
Yeah.
And just like, you know, especially when you're at a tackle shop, you know, this is usually like big box stores that this happens at. Like, mom and pop shops seem to pick up on really fast who's an actual angler. I think it's just the way you carry yourself when you're walking around.
Yeah.
But some of the big box stores, you know, it gets a little ridiculous where they walk right by you, you know, and they'll talk directly to him before they talk to me. Like I said, that's not been the case so much anymore. It seemed to happen a lot more 5-6 years ago. I think it's just more of us being in the sport. It's starting to be a commonplace, like don't assume that I'm not fishing. But there's definitely been times where we would be out on the water and we would get approached by a boat or by, you know, older gentlemen on the ramp or whatnot. And they would immediately talk to Ryan and they'd be like, oh, how's the fishing and da 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 and all this stuff. And you reckon them? And he'd be like, no, not at all, actually, but you should talk to my wife. She's been slaying them all day. Like, so he's always been a very cool sidekick in that regard, that he was always very quick to be like, why are you talking to me, man? Like, talk to her. I don't want to talk to you. Like,
what about you, Wesley?
Yeah, I mean, you know, as far as like strange things that I've been asked, I think outside of the game warden incident and stuff like that, I'm gonna have to think about if I've got more stories. I definitely have one that's kind of interesting that involves Alex. And there was a tournament, and I won't say which one, but there was a tournament, a local tournament that he and I went to last year. And, you know, afterward, there was like, you know, barbecue and beer and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, pretty much all the local crew, they know me. They know Alex. Like, you know, it's old hat. And there was a guy there that has a bait company. And so I'd never met him before. He didn't know me. And anyway, we somehow end up running into this guy and offers Alex to sponsor Alex on the spot, like give him like, you know, how much free bait credit do you want? And do you have social media? And like at the time, Alex, you know, he's like maybe barely 15. And he's like, well, you know, do you have Facebook? Do you have Instagram? You know, you can promote my baits. You can do this. You can do that. And I'm sitting there going, first of all, no, because my kid's 15. He's not getting all the social medias and not like, not no, just no. And didn't even, it was like, oh, your mom brought you to this tournament so you could fish. And you know, and this is the thing, I don't really care, you know, that it's not so much that it bothered me, but it was just kind of like, Alex was all excited, you know, and he was like, oh yeah, like, and I'm like, no, you're not, no, like, you're not. That's a bad sponsor deal, Alex. You're not going to do that. So,
like, that's not how any of this works. Like, that's how it works.
And
on the flip side of talking about like the uncomfortable stuff, just as a mom, yeah, I'd be like, he's a child.
All of a sudden
give him a bunch of free candy at the boat ramp. This is weird. Why are you making it weird?
Yeah, and I was just like, you know, but as far as like some of the other stuff, you know, And when I go into a big box store, I don't really pay any attention to whether or not an associate notices me or not. I really don't. Like, I know the inside of the Bass Pro and Little Rock better than they do because I've been there so many times. And, you know, if I have a question about something, I go ask. If they come ask me if I need help, I'm like, man, you know, I don't feel ignored. I don't feel that some, like I've heard some other ladies express, like people are ignoring me or whatever. I think that I try not to look for things where there are not things. And, you know, and I, as far as like for my best advice to like, to the men folks that are wanting, like, how do we do this without making people nervous or whatever? I want you to think about how you would want someone to approach your wife, your daughter,
mm-hmm,
your mother, your sister, because you have one of them, an aunt, an important female in your life. How would you want a complete stranger to interact with her if she were alone? And then do that. Because if your answer is to hurt that person, then you got bigger problems.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but think about how you would want a stranger to interact with an important woman in your life. That is my best advice to give to you, is how you should approach somebody. And that's not That's not blocking them in a boat ramp. It's not, like I told you guys a story earlier about a guy banging on the hood of my car. It's not it's not coming up to your car telling somebody roll their window down because you want to tell them their car is cool. Like, no, like that is not, we don't interact with anyone that way.
Well, and another point to that, you know, when you are out on the water, nine and a half times out of 10, you see one of us on the water by ourselves, because it's a fact, even when Ryan and I are fishing, when we launch from the same ramp, you will rarely see us anywhere near each other because we fish very differently. So most of the time when I'm actually out on the water competing, I am alone.
Yeah.
But one thing to keep in mind as a guy, as a good guy out there, because I know there's plenty of you, when you see these interactions, exactly, when you see these interactions happening, just like Wesley said, think about somebody that's important to you. If you start overhearing or seeing something that is kind of weird, there is nothing wrong with kind of like stepping into the picture a little bit and being like, oh, hey, what's up? And just start talking fishing to us, even if you don't know us. If it seems like we're in a bad situation or an uncomfortable situation, sometimes it's really easy to make those people go away just by talking to somebody.
Yeah.
And that's a big important key. You know, if you are a female and you're out there and there's anybody in earshot to talk to, even on the shoreline, if someone's making you uncomfortable on the water or on the ramp, that's one thing that I've personally done, is just spark up a conversation with a bass boat that's nearby, you know, just to make the other person kind of back off. You'd be amazed at how well that works. So if you are one of the gentlemen that sees any of these weird instances happening, you know, feel free to, hey, what's going on? You know, I've seen your YouTube channel or something completely irrelevant.
I wanted to ask a question. And also for those that are watching, if you have a question, please put it on the comment section. And I see Jennifer Salzberg. I see Tanya Antle. I hope I pronounced that well. So for those that ladies that watch or maybe listening on the MP3 format once we upload it, what advice would you have to, you know, to the ladies out there that this is what you should be aware of and this is how you, you know, recommend handling in an uncomfortable situation?
Oh, I will tell you the number one key to handling an uncomfortable situation, and I think this is with anybody, confidence, fake it till you make it. Because 10 out of 10, those guys, they didn't like want anything to do with me because I'm not going to be the like, oh my God, like, no, that is not me. 10 out of 10, not happening. I'm so sorry. Like, if you try to kidnap me, you will regret it. Confidence, be confident in whatever it is you're doing. And you, there's this like misconception that women are bitches if you're not nice. You don't have to be nice to somebody who's up in your personal space. And it's kind of interesting because I had to give Alex a little bit of education on this the other day, because like, if any of you have ever seen my vehicle, and a lot of you have, I have a rooftop tent. My car is a little unique, right? So it looks like a little different than normal. And I frequently, like once a month, have some stranger at a red light, at a drive-through or whatever, asked me about my rooftop tent. We were at a gas station and Alex was driving. I was in the passenger seat and we were parked in front of the gas station. And there was an older gentleman that was walking into his truck, which was parked next to me. And I saw him kind of look at me and say, like, roll down your window. And I kind of looked at him and I was like, I cracked my window a little bit. And I'm like, can I help you? And he goes, what is that? And I said, oh, it's a rooftop tent. And he goes, oh, okay, thank you. And then he left. And Alex goes, Mom, why were you so mean to that guy? And I said, I wasn't mean. I was assertive. I answered his question. And you don't ever roll your window down for somebody you don't know. And I had to explain to him, Alex, he was like, well, you just weren't very nice. And I said, well, maybe I wasn't, but I don't have to be. He's trying to get in my personal space. You don't have to be nice to somebody that's invading your space. You don't. And so for the ladies out, confidence, be confident.
You made mention a good point about, and I know it's kind of become a joke, like when they tell women, oh, you need to smile more or stuff like that.
Yep.
I can tell you from a guy's perspective and being honest, like Men, we are, for whatever reason, genetically wired that if we see a woman smiling, a lot of times we misinterpret that.
Yeah.
And that's the truth.
Yep.
I'm guilty of it as well. You know, you feel like, oh, they're smiling. Oh, they're talking to me. Oh, maybe there's the person's really nice. And it's kind of like, I can see how difficult it is for you girls, because sometimes you want to be nice, but you just can't. And I'm sure your woman's sense or sixth sense, and I hope that's not sexist me saying that, but can tell, is like, oh yeah, if I smile or continue this conversation with this person, they're going to misinterpret it. And then if you don't, then you get that reputation of like, oh, she's a bitch, or, oh, look, you know, like, oh, whatever. Does that play a lot into, you know, when you are at tournaments and you have a room full of guys and maybe you are one of only two women out there? Katie, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say no. When we're in tournament settings, you know, especially for the big national events, for Hobies and Bassmaster,
no.
Those are some of the friendliest rooms that you can be in, especially, I mean, there are so few of us that many more people in the room will know my name than I know theirs. And I'm sure it's the same for Wesley.
Sure.
So that's a setting where it's completely not weird to have somebody walk right up to you and like, hey, how's it going? Because you're surrounded by your people. You know, we're in a huge group setting. That's the best time. If you really want to like have a one-on-one chat with somebody where it's not weird, that's the time to do it. But as far as, you know, out on the water, like Wesley said, confidence is key. And one thing that I started doing almost immediately, and mostly because we were just in Texas and it was really freaking hot there. I'm covered head to toe when I'm fishing. A lot of the ladies, like my hair is not crazy long and thick. Wesley and Christine, they have like these crazy thick, long braids that they're very telling that they're a girl. When I put my visor on and have my hair back, as soon as I throw a hood up and put my buff up and glasses on, you immediately almost can't tell that I'm a girl anymore. The only thing that you can tell is by my nails, because a lot of times I would wear gloves too. So I'm covered head to toe. You pretty much can't see any skin on me. And that is actually incredibly effective. For ladies out there that are going alone, it's kind of sad that you have to, you know, sort of say that, but that is a piece of advice. If they can't tell you're a female, they will probably pass right by you, you know, because it's the truth, you know, when you've got a buff up and your glasses on, you can't tell who's who.
Yeah.
So that's one of those, it's kind of like the camouflage when you're out there to be ignored. And that might seem counterintuitive, especially like we have social media and websites and whatnot. And you're kind of like, well, don't you want to be noticed? Well, no, not all the time. Like that's when it's weird. Like I like flying under the radar while I'm out there.
Yeah.
But it is, it's a lot of it is how you carry yourself.
Yeah.
If you make sure, you know, keep your sit up straight, keep your shoulders back, make sure you've got your head up. The last thing you want to do when you're a chick on the ramp by yourself is to have your head down and kind of, you know, scared and small and
look vulnerable. Yeah.
You want to walk around. Like if you get in my way, I'm going to have to stomp on your face. You know, that's just.
And you know, like I like to kind of echo some of what Katie said. I have never had any kind of like the people that we tournament fish with. I think I've had one encounter where I was kind of like, man, you're a turd. And that wasn't even like the guy being creepy. He was just basically being a
a-hole.
He was being an a-hole.
Oh, dude.
And I mean, it
kind of got worried when Katie unmuted herself. Like, oh my God, what's the word Katie's going to use?
No, it's one of those. She totally, I'm going to let her finish, but she totally made me think of a situation where this happened. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Well, so like, I'm not going to tell the story, but basically last year, whenever I cashed a check on lacrosse, like there was someone who did not cash a check and was basically telling me how, well, you know, you better just get used to the fact that somebody probably culled above you and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, can I not just have one moment where can you not just say, good job? Like, you go, girl. Why you got to be a jerk? you know, when I didn't say a word to anyone at the ramp, not a single person. Somebody came up to me and was like, oh, hey, aren't you Wesley? Aren't you like you were in like 10th place or something, weren't you? And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it was anyway, just being super negative. Like nobody got time for that. Anyway, I forgot what we were talking about before that, Katie, because you made me laugh.
no, I was going to say, so you talked about like, oh, it's been really rare that somebody's been a total turd to me on the water and whatnot.
Like, well, yeah. So like for me, yeah, I haven't had any like weird. I did almost get run over by a guy at lacrosse, but that wasn't a guy fishing the tournament.
On the water, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I haven't had any like creepers on the water. I haven't had that experience. And as far as all of the people that we fish tournaments with, I haven't had any issues with any of them. So this is not a, I don't want any of the guys to think that like there's all these horrible experiences out there. For me, like 100% of the time, it's pretty much just been randoms. And it's always been at the boat ramp. It's always at the boat ramp. It's never, for me, never out on the water. So, you know, I mean, if I'm at the boat ramp on wherever I am at, you know, 4:30 in the morning and someone shows up, chances are you're fishing the same tournament I am. So I'm not overly concerned about that. And I would say 90% of the people we kind of know, whether it's through social media or captain's meeting or whatever. So it's not so much the tournament guys, I feel like, that I've had any issues with. I don't know about you, Katie, but I just don't feel like that's where their brain.
Yeah, yeah, it's usually like the random person. Go ahead, Katie.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say, so in all of the events that I've been, I mean, legitimately, I have calendar logged somewhere that I should actually tally that up because it'd be interesting to see it. In the first 5 years of us competing, there's well over 200 tournaments that we competed in. I mean, from local to national and all in between. There was one event that was, I'm not going to mention who or what it was for, but it was on Possum Kingdom Lake. And I was wrecking them coming down this bank line. Like, and the rest of the field was not doing so great, but just banging on them. And it was chilly that morning, so I had on bibs and a jacket and a buff and glasses and the whole nine. You could not tell I was a female. And I'm fishing down this bank line, and sure enough, whoop, right around me and cuts me off, not even 20 yards ahead of me, like cuts me right off up the shoreline that I'm working. And it's like very obvious, this whole shoreline that I'm working up to this point. And this dude was behind me for a while, and he had seen me just pulling off nice fish off of this bank line. And he did the same thing. And I was like, okay, like that's one of those moments where you're like, oh my God, I'm shaking mad. Like you did not just do that to me, man. But I was like, okay, just chill out. It's fine. It's whatever. I just assume that this dude is brandy new and he has zero idea what he just did. So I casually was like, hey, man, you must be new around here, because I didn't recognize him. And I was like, just to let you know, in the future, it's not super cool to cut somebody off when they're working a bank line, you know, in the direction that they're working when they're catching.
Yeah.
Just saying. This dude turned around and was like, you want to talk to me at the ramp?
Yes, I do.
And I was, dude, I dropped my hood and dropped my mask. And I was like, what? What did you just say?
Like,
nothing.
Catch me outside. Nothing. Like,
let me just
catch me outside.
See, that was one of those, you about to get clapped up. Like, and as soon as you could tell, the minute that he realized he had just said that to a female, he was like, oh, you know, yeah. He almost crapped himself. and it was one of those like, and he kind of like took it or hooked it around a bend real quick and he was gone. Yeah. And like, it was one of those, it happened so quick. Like I didn't even pay attention. Like your mind is racing in so many directions between like, oh my God, I want to punch him in the throat for cutting me off. And now I want to punch him in the throat again for telling me to meet him on a ramp. Like That, oh man. So I didn't even know what this dude looked like. Like, I got asked about 1,000 times after the fact when I told this story, like, what kind of kayak was he in? Who the hell is this dude? Because there was a lot of people in this event. And I'm like, guys, I have zero idea what this guy even looks. I couldn't even tell you the color of his boat. I was just so like, oh, I'm about to throw down, man. I'm about to knuckle up. Like, but that's the only instant that happened. But legitimately, he probably didn't know his girl when that happened. So you take that as it is.
I kind of want to acknowledge also the people are commenting. Tanya Antle was saying, I was bank fishing once and this man woke up and started talking to me. He obviously wasn't fishing, kept walking away down the bank, and he would follow me and keep asking personal questions. It was extremely uncomfortable. I have concealed carry now. Kayak fishermen are awesome. I've never had a problem with them. It's a fantastic community. I don't know if you feel comfortable asking this. And Tanya, thank you for commenting.
Yeah.
Conceal and carry. Like, I know, Wesley, you mentioned it. Katie, I'm not going to ask if that's personal. But
no, that's I carry.
Hopefully, you never had to, you know, use it. But I think there's always this, you know, especially in Texas, I think, you know, there's so many shootings and stuff that going on, and I understand the use of it.
Yeah.
You know, how do you manage that? Because obviously when you have this, you're like, you know, as guys, sometimes you think like, oh, somebody approached me, I can take him. You know, there's no need. But you girls, like, if you're going up against a guy, for the most part, you know, he's going to be, and again, not being sexist, he's going to probably be bigger, stronger, and faster. So you may be reaching for that concealed faster than other guys. How do you, like, what do you manage, you know, trying to, like, let me see how to diffuse it before, you know, before going to that route?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, that...
I know it's a loaded question.
It's not so much that I feel that it's loaded. I just want to try to answer it in a way that, because I know how I handle those situations. And first of all, I try not to put myself in that situation.
Yeah.
I try to make sure.
Never use it. Yeah.
Right. Like, you want to be in the position where you never have to use it. Right. And I've had so many people, especially on the Game Warden video, like, you should carry, you should think about carrying if you need training. First of all, I don't need people to mansplain to me how to take care of myself. Like, that is, like, I appreciate, like, I try to tell people and I try to, like, take a step back and go, I appreciate you. But if you think that any woman has not thought about that, like, find another way, because I promise you we have, because we do it every day. Like, I can't walk to my car on campus at my job without worrying about someone trying to hurt me. And it's every time we go anywhere, every day, go to the grocery store, go to get your hair. I mean, anything, we have to think about that. So how do you manage it? Try not to ever put yourself in the situation where you ever have to use it. And then if you're trying to diffuse something, first of all, most of that stuff happens extremely quickly. Like, there isn't really an opportunity to diffuse anything. If someone is going to hurt you, they're not going to ask a whole lot of questions first. You know what I mean? But it goes back to the confidence factor. Like, I am very confident in myself, one, because it's just kind of how I am wired as a person. Like, I've always been that way. But for other people who have asked me, like, how do I get to that point? Practice and training. And for me, it's not just because I'm from Texas, but I have a very long history in concealed carry. Like, my dad was one of the original concealed carry instructors when that became a thing in the state of Texas when I was, like, I don't know, 13 or 14. So I have been very familiar with that my entire life. And so it's second nature to me. And Scott, my boyfriend, he's an All-American Championship pistol shooter. So, like, I have access to people who have trained me very well to take care of myself. And that's available and out there for anybody who wants to get more training on that. Go to a gun range and practice, because you have to build up your confidence. It's just like, your favorite fishing rod and your favorite fishing bait. You're going to use what you have confidence in. And if you don't work and practice and put in the time, you're not going to have confidence in how to deal with the situation. And it's not that a weapon is always required, but it definitely is something that makes you feel a little bit better, especially as a lady. To me, it does. Now, not everybody will agree with that, and that's okay. You know, if you feel better about carrying pepper spray, do that. You know, I mean, do what you're comfortable with, but the keys are being confident and being prepared.
And you touched on something earlier when you was, and then I wanted to go back to, because I think that's important. Like, having a firearm can give you a false sense of security sometimes. And if you ever at the situation where like, well, it doesn't matter because I have a gun, I think that's the time where you have to say, okay, let's avoid this situation.
Yep.
If you ever had a, and I'm not talking about women in particular. I'm general, man or woman. If I'm going to a boat ramp and I see something shady, and my first thought is like, ah, it's okay, I have a gun, I'll protect myself. That's my key to say, this is where I need to leave because I don't want to use it.
Yeah.
It's for those unforeseen circumstances that you're not prepared for or come out of the blue that you were not aware of that was going to happen. That's the thing. But if you see something that's, like you said, mention it. If you get to that point where you feel like, well, the gun's going to save me if it comes to that, well, that's the point you should got to leave. So avoid it.
No.
Whether you're even in the right to do, because like I'm not saying, again, this is not trying to be sexist. I can be a guy and say, hey, you know what? I have the right to do this. But if it's going to put me in a situation where potentially I'm going to have to use this, let's just leave. Forget about your rights.
Yeah. You know? So, think about what I said about the game warden incident. Yeah. What was the first thing that I said about that? He blocked my route of escape.
Exactly.
So my first thought was, how do I get myself out of the situation? There's two options, my car, which I can't access anymore, or to get in my boat and get in the water. That's the only way that I can get out of this situation. So it should never be, it's a last resort. It's a last resort, no matter what. But just the false sense of security, that's not good, you know? And it's just because you're a guy doesn't mean that you're well-trained.
Yeah.
You know? And
well, and that's what's funny.
I think that's sexist against a man, Wesley.
No, I was going to say, I didn't know that about her. And that just goes to show, and it's the same thing for me. Well, right. And I was
too late now.
I was just going to mention, to touch on that, I might be from Western Pennsylvania. I'm back in Pittsburgh, PA. And a lot of people are like, oh, you Yankee, you don't know nothing. I grew up with a gun range in my high school. I was a champion marksman in high school. When I was a freshman in high school, all through high school, I shot competitively. But that's the stuff that we don't talk about on all of these podcasts and stuff that, no, do not assume that we are not carrying and that we do not know how to use our weapon.
Absolute in distress.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of the, you know, it's sad that's still a conception, but it's just something that kind of comes with the territory when you're female. And especially, you know, like you all have met Ryan. Ryan is a bear. He's 6'6 and 350. Like 9 times out of 10, nobody's going to come anywhere near me once they see that he's with me.
Yeah.
So that's the diffuser from default.
I'm trying to grow my Ryan beard, by the way.
Yeah, right?
Look as intimidating as he does.
He does, man. He just gets a big, burly beard. It's ridiculous. He's got to tame that thing like every 2 days. But, you know, for the ladies out there that aren't, you know, sure about, you know, when that's good, if that situation is going to present itself, you know, your gut will tell you when that situation is arising. And there typically are other alternatives than going to that. That should not be your first resort. And if that's not something that you're comfortable doing in the first place or carrying, don't carry it, you know.
No.
A can of bear mace can spray pretty far and that will take care of most people. You know, that it seems like an innocuous thing, but no, like you want to have a good range on somebody that's not going to kill them for the most part.
Yeah.
There are alternatives to that. But it's just a matter of, you know, if you're carrying at all, you have to have had that come to Jesus moment with yourself that if I'm putting this in my pocket or on my person, there is a chance that I'm going to take a life. You know, whether you think that that's going
to happen. And you have to live with that.
Right. And you have to reconcile that before you ever put that thing on your person. I think that's something that a lot of people don't consider before carrying. Because they kind of think like, I'll never have to use it, or I'll never have to pull it. Or if I do, I could do that in a minute. I worked in EMS for like 15 years, and it's not easy to watch people die. It would be incredibly difficult to watch somebody die by your own hand. So that's all stuff that I would take into consideration before going that route.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I agree. Taking a little bit of more lighter subject, when we see anglers, you've all had success, Katie and Wesley, and I'm not minimizing that by any means. When you see somebody like Christine Fisher, who's obviously, you know, as award winner, it goes, you know, she's the most decorated female angler right now in kayak bass fishing. Do you see? I see that, and again, I may be ignorant, but I see that as a huge help for every woman out there. And there are some, like, I want to, you know, Tanya Antel here and Lisa Garcia. There's, you know, Kristen Fisher's not the only one succeeding. There are other, whether it's kayak bass fishing or other fishing or outdoor platforms, there are women that are succeeding and being very successful. And how does that elevate, or does that help you in any way for up-and-coming women that are trying to get into the sport that maybe haven't reached that level of popularity as far as getting sponsorship, getting respected, and kind of putting the eye out there that women are doing that? Wesley, I'll start with you.
Yeah, of course it does. You know, any people who are – you know, successful in the sport and willing to enter the sport, put in the work, put in the hard, you know, put in all of the hard work and the time and the effort that it takes to be successful. Of course it does. Christine is phenomenal. She's done a terrific job. You know, there's lots of successful people out there. Anastasia Patterson is out there fishing the opens right now. Like, it's amazing. And of course it helps, you know, bolster. And I think just seeing the faces of other ladies that are out there just helps more people, like more women who are interested, know that it's okay to be interested in this sport. Like, it's not guys only. So I think, like anything, it'll take time, you know? Yeah.
Katie, go ahead.
Same thing, you know, Christine is a sister to me. You know, she's been a very close friend of mine for a lot of years now. And she is a great ambassador for ladies in our sport. There seems to be a common misconception that she is unapproachable and some kind of way with
not ladies. At all.
Not exactly. If you know her,
yeah,
that's not who she is. She is one of the most personable people you could possibly talk to. And she will absolutely talk your ear off if you want to talk about, you know, how she was fishing or how she was wrecking them on certain lakes. But I think it's, she's great representation for us. You know, there's all of us, any female that is out on the water, you know, especially in kayak fishing is a unique outlier in that we are alone out there. There is no co-angler on our boat. There's nobody that's with us giving us tips or helping us, you know, while we're doing stuff. So when you're out there as a lady angler, you know, carry yourself as such. You know, don't be that unapproachable female to other females. That's one of the biggest traps in this sport, I think, is the underlying competitive nature of chicks in a male-dominated field. Is to kind of come off some kind of way with each other when that is the last thing that you should be doing with each other. You know, there are so few of us that are especially competing. There's millions of us that are out there fishing for sure. But in the competitive world, there really isn't. There's barely a drop in the bucket. So being out there you know, when you see another lady on the ramp or another lady fishing in an event with you, go up and say hi, encourage them and be like, hey man, you know, you doing good? You wrecking them? Like, good, get on them. Like, show those boys what's up. You know, that's, it's all about empowering each other. That is such an important piece of females in this sport that I think a lot of people don't, you think that that's kind of inherent, but it's not, because there is a little bit of like standoffish, because at the heart, most of us are kind of tomboys when it comes down to it. And we're like that because we don't know how to interact with other girls. So interacting with other girls can be kind of weird. And you're like, wait, do they like me? Do they not like me? Am I being weird? What's my face doing? Like, it's a thing. So it's one of those things, you know, sometimes you got to rewind your mind back to like, how did you feel in junior high when you were the only girl that didn't know anybody at this party? You know, be more welcoming into our sport. And that's one thing that Christine is great at, is just like, hey, how are you? It's nice to talk to you, you know?
I think one of the other things that Christine brings to the table is, prior to Christine, and I'm not trying to be judgmental, everybody has the right to make a living as long as you're not hurting anyone. But we know there are, and this goes to guys too, I guess, but I'm going to highlight, and I hope nobody gets offended by what I'm saying. But the reality is there are females out there that are more about showing off their assets than their fishing skills. And that's their ticket to catching sponsorship or money. Again, I'm not judging. Listen, if that's what's bringing the check, you have every right to feed your family, make your money. But I know that with now Christine being this angler, it's like, well, no, I'm not doing that. My fishing skills are the ones that's going to propel sponsorship. Now, having said that, the reality of the situation is, every time there's an outlier, and I say this because I don't want this to sound sexist. Well, when you have somebody like Christine, she's an outlier, right? You don't typically see Christine is almost 6 foot tall, blonde, slender woman fishing. So she's catches the eye of everyone, for better or worse. That means sponsorships go to, you're going to say like, well, this is somebody that's going to attract attention. Hey, do you feel like having, you know, do you ever feel offended where companies kind of come for your maybe sponsorship deal, but not based on your skill sets? Although you're both talented, but they're like, well, no, I'm more interested in she's a female and the looks than more her fishing skills. Have you encountered that? And that, does that offend you? And how do you handle that?
Go ahead, Katie. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, me personally, I've been very fortunate to get a lot of very big sponsors in this sport. And I can say with 100% honesty that not one of them has ever given the impression that that mattered at all. And especially for the fact that, like I said, when I'm fishing, you know, if you look at photos and videos and whatnot of all the stuff, I don't present that way. I definitely, you know, I'll drop the buff and everything for a grip and grin, but I'm not prim and proper on the water. I'm very like messy hair up in a bun above my visor. So I've not personally gotten that feel. It's definitely something that I think a lot of us try to not feed into that stereotype. You know, if you want to use your bobbers that way, it's your business. It's your business. But
that's a good analogy.
Your bobbers. There's
other from now on.
I know, right? But for most of us, you know, even when you do have the assets, it says a lot when you don't have to use them, you don't have to show them off, and you're getting these deals purely based off of your talent, your presentation, your personality. You know, that's not been something that I've encountered. I mean, obviously it would seem to be that is a thing. And there are tons of companies out there that will approach the more bikini anglers out there, maybe for those reasons. But I can say that those aren't companies that I would represent in the first place, because none of the companies that I represent ever portray women like that.
No.
So that's just one of those things that, you know, it's not in my realm of things. But Christine is. She's a total outlier where she's a 6 foot tall bombshell. I mean, it is what it is.
And by the way, when I mentioned that, that's true, but she is one of the best anglers right now. She's, yeah. You know, I want to clarify. Yes, she's an outlier, and yes, that attracts companies. But she, more than that, she is an amazing angler, which is a testament. She's fishing the Kayak Series Championship. She's won the TOC Hobie. So that's not the only reason. It does give an extra layer to say, hey, you know, you got two successful anglers. One is going to stand out more than the other. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. You want to take advantage of those things because it's based on not you flaunting your looks, but just in general being an outlier in that aspect. I'm kind of worried about getting Wesley's reaction because I feel like she's going to go off right now on a tangent.
I'm not offended. It takes a lot to offend me. Mansplaining offends me. But
yes.
But no, I have not had any companies approach me and like ask me to use my bobbers for anything. Like that has never happened. I'm using it, Katie.
I know, dude. We gotta have it right now.
You gotta calm down, make t-shirts, sell them.
GM, that's gonna happen right now. We're Wesley and I just created a whole fishing
hashtag show me your bobbers. Like
hashtag show me your bobbers. There we go. That's it.
Oh god.
Look forward to our Facebook page later.
It's like, it's okay when we do it, right?
Oh, man.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, you're good. It's funny.
No, I'm not offended. And I think that none of the companies that I work for present any content in that way. Just like Katie said, like they're not looking for that kind of angler. And I really think, I do think there was some stuff like several years ago that kind of, there was like the whole bikini angler business, whatever. And I know there's a lot of it out there on social media. And this is what I have to say about that. Good for them. You know what? I am confident in a lot of things, but you will not catch me out there putting myself on Instagram in that kind of attire ever. Like, no, I don't think so. Not today.
It's not practical.
It's not practical. It's not functional. We're not going there. But I've never had any companies come out and like request anything like that, or even give me the impression that that's what they're looking for. I think that not only like now, probably, and I'm going to say in the last probably 3 years, maybe 4 years. Yeah. 3-ish, 4 years or so. Companies have really turned to anglers with a good social media presence. And that is what they're looking for, but in a positive way, in a positive way. And I'm not entirely sure that the very like voluptuous bikini anglers are, while it might get a lot of attention on social media, is it helping companies sell their products?
Exactly.
Because unless I want to buy that bathing suit she's wearing, I don't care about whatever it was. Like, people aren't there to look at the fish.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's more of a, what kind of content creator are you? Is what a lot of sponsorship company or, you know, fishing, whether it's fishing companies or even just, you know, any other companies, they're looking to work with people who have an influence in the fishing industry. And that's what they're looking for. And I don't know that the stereotypical bikini angler has the influence to sell products. It may get attention, but I don't know that it sells products.
Well, it's not only that. As soon as you talk to them, that's the biggest differentiator. You know, I am sure that there are some chicks out there that are, you know, rocking a thong that can just wreck them. And it seems to be that most of those anglers are in the saltwater sphere.
Yeah, definitely bigger
because it's saltwater. Well, and I think all that comes down to is the weather. I mean, you can't wear a bikini up north or in the winter, you know, in most places. So, freshwater anglers is different, but it does really come down to, as soon as you need somebody with substance that can have a conversation like this, that's really what starts to differentiate the two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree.
I know a lot of you are commenting, and I try not to put the comments right as our guests are talking, so I won't distract from what they're saying. So I'll take a moment to kind of acknowledge. Lance says, blame the gross old boomers that like comment and click on those bikini fish holder pages. And then those dudes complaining that they can't get sponsors and actually talented females get pushed back for them. Social media is an ad revenue driven. Blame the consumers. The ladies we have in the kayak fishing community are stellar ambassadors for the sport. Mad respect, Lance, we couldn't say it any better.
Yep.
What else we got? Vicky White mentioned, I've had the opposite. I've been told that I don't look like what they want in a girl angler to look like. I appreciate most of the sponsors that don't get into that. That's another the other ugly side of it. Kind of reminds me of that movie. I don't know if you watched it. A League of Their Own.
Yeah.
Remember that movie where the girl that was not very attractive, but she was the best one. There was like
Marla.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't remember the name of Tom Hanks' character either. Don't think I'm sexist.
Marla Hooch. Yeah.
Jimmy Dugan.
That was a good movie, by the way.
That's an excellent movie.
Yeah.
Rosie O'Donnell was on that one.
I was going to say, I would wonder how many female anglers that are like on the level, how many of us played softball? Because I'm betting it's a lot. Yeah. Dude, I wrecked them on the field too.
See, I was not an organized sports girly.
More outdoor. You did mountain biking. You told me once mountain biking.
I did do a race one time, Armando, and it was one time, and I was dead ass last, and I will never do that again. I got my t-shirt and my free beer, and it was great. No, I raced horses and trained.
Nice.
That's what I did growing up, like all through high school and college and that kind of stuff. So I'm more of like a solo sport kind of girly.
Outdoorsy type.
Outdoorsy, yeah, yeah.
That, by the way, Gerald Smith, Three the Hard Way, that there's no crying baseball. That's the line of that movie. Yeah,
there's no crying.
More quotable. The most quotable line of that movie, for real. All right, well, I've got you ladies for like over an hour, and I know you're both parents, and you have stuff to do, so I don't want to keep you too long. Any last advice for women anglers or men that, you know, how to behave? And also give you a chance to, you know, shout out any sponsors, anybody you want to shout out. So, Katie, let's start with you.
My biggest advice to ladies and young ladies out there that are considering getting into the sport or even, you know, on the sphere of any sort, go for it, man. There is nothing stopping you anymore. It is not weird for girls to be in these male-dominated sports. There are opportunities for everybody out there. It doesn't matter size, shape, you know, all the above. There are companies out there that want representation for all of the above. Sometimes you just have to make sure that you're getting their attention. Do a lot of work in the social media sphere. You know, if you really love a product, you should be tagging and hashtagging those products years before you ever are attempting any sort of sponsorship deals with them. I think that's one thing that a lot of people, there's a misconception that, oh, I won one tournament and all of a sudden all these sponsors came running to my door. It's typically not like that. Typically these sponsors notice you once they realize, oh, for the last like 3 years, this person has been hashtagging us in hundreds of posts about fishing or whatnot. So definitely make yourself seen and be interactive with people. Another thing is to not be a negative person in general, whether it's on the ramp or on social media. You know, that stuff gets noticed, and it is very easy for people to recognize that you're not a very uplifting person, and that's not the kind of person that most sponsors are looking for. They're looking for positive people that want to bring more people into the sport, not push people away. And you know, like I said, it's just, it's one of those things now that's not, it's not weird for us to be out there. It, you know, it still might be a little awkward at times when we're alone on the ramp and it's dark. But that's just the reality of being a woman, you know, most of the time. It doesn't matter if it's on a ramp or at a grocery store. So don't let that stop you. And there are plenty of us out there that have your back and will cheer you on anytime we see your name on a scoreboard. I know Wesley and I have done that for each other. You know, whenever we see each other, like wrecking them on a board when one of us isn't competing, it is very common for us to be shooting messages all across the internet to each other, supporting each other and trying to get that little like extra atta girl, keep going, you know, don't stop. And as far as the companies that have been amazing enough to support me in this whole 7-year adventure, obviously Old Town, that's one of my biggest supporters. Mustang Survival, Mariner Sales, like you just came on to our Mariner Sales family. I've been a part of the Mariner Sales family for a long time. And Wesley just just came on to the Mariner Sales family as well. So that's very cool. And with that comes FPV Power, as well as Lake Fork Trophy Lures, Rod Sox, and P-Line, and Western Sun Vodka.
There you go.
I'm just saying, I don't drink wine, but I like Western Sun Vodka. It's nice. So, yeah, and then there's all the people in this sport, you know, like you guys. It's the people that you meet that just – they're your constant cheerleaders. Like, those are our biggest supporters. Like, that – that's what keeps you going is all the friends that you make in this industry. It's very, very cool.
Yeah. On that note, I was sad not that long ago. Lance McCord is going to remember this. You know, seeing whether you feel you're right or wrong, I don't know. Like females are such a small group still in that community. When we see one female angler go take to social media to throw shade at another female angler for some petty stuff that has nothing to do with bass fishing, it's not a good look. And it says more about the person that's posting that than the person they're attacking.
Yep.
Whether you're right or wrong. Maybe you're right in the way you feel, but that doesn't mean the whole world needs to know.
Well, and
most of the things can be solved, you know, by talking.
The reality is the handful of people that are like that in this sport that are so quick to trash other anglers or just start a bunch of nonsense, we sniff you out pretty fast and we snuff you out just as quickly. So keep that in mind that we're always listening and we all talk to each other. So when we see you being nasty to some, you know, nice female that's out there trying to just make it in the sport and just trying to do her thing, we see what you're doing and we spread the word to our sponsors as well. So keep that in the back of your mind. Don't be a mean person. Try to be a good human.
By the way, I got an angry emoji here. Craig Murray put an angry emoji. Craig, I don't know what we said to offend you, or maybe you're just offended at the stuff that the ladies have to go through. If that's the case, good. If not, well, we don't know. Go ahead, Wesley.
No, you know, it's a small community. And as far as, you know, just kind of the kind of backhanded things that sometimes, you know, women do to other women is just unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know, and it's certainly unnecessarily to do it in a public forum on social media. That is just not a productive way to behave. It's not professional. And it's actions speak much louder than words. And it's tough, you know, and I can't say that I've personally experienced the social media end of it. But, you know, it's hard, you know, and I think that what everyone, ladies, fellas, everybody, there is room in the sport for everyone to be successful.
Yeah.
So if you are saying, well, why did this person get this and I didn't get this? I don't think comparing yourselves in that manner is productive, you know, and so it's just... it's difficult. And sometimes women, we can be our own, like, we're not good to each other. And for whatever reason, and Katie and I have talked about this, and I've talked to a lot of ladies in the sport about it. And the ladies I've talked to, we're not like that. We're yeah. like, that's great. Like Katie said, like, we're here to support each other, and not just yes, because we're the ladies in the sport, but you know, also like all of the guys too. Like, it's, we're not just picking on each other, you know, yeah. like Guillermo, like, I mean, he's doing amazing. Like, I'm happy for Drew, you know.
Yeah.
Be happy for other people's success. Like, choose happiness, people. Like, can we just not wake up and choose violence? Like, why? I don't understand. It's something that doesn't quite compute with me. Like, the jealousy factor, right? Yeah. Like, I don't, it's kind of weird. Like, I don't understand that. And if someone could explain it to me, I'm all ears. Like, I don't understand the jealousy factor of it. And I've gotten like a little bit of it, like a little taste of it here lately. But, you know, I've just kind of chosen to move past that and not address it. So we'll see how that turns out. But anyway, what are you going to say, Armando?
No. Finish, please. Go ahead.
I mean, that's pretty much it, you know. And like earlier, like Katie was kind of talking about like advice for people, you know, like I said earlier, like confidence is key in whatever it is that you're going to do. And for guys, like as far as advice goes, like I said, think about how you would want the most important lady in your life treated. And that's the best piece of advice that's simple that I can give you. You know, and as far as ladies who are wanting, or not just ladies, anybody wanting to be successful in the fishing industry, work on yourself, work on your personal brand, because that's the first step. Work on your personal brand. Like Katie said, be a good person. Like you're going to have to be someone and present yourself as someone that brands want to be associated with. No. You have to be relatable. You have to be positive. You have to be friendly. And if you're not getting deals for certain reasons, you need to be reflecting on what that may be. And it could be that it's just a company you don't want to work with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. One thing that you mentioned that I think I don't understand why people don't get this. It's going back to what you mentioned, the jealousy and all that. And I'll illustrate this point. On a bigger picture, when a movie comes out in Hollywood and mm-hmm. it turns to be a success, every movie studio is going to be like, oh, that movie was a success. Let's make our own version of or a similar genre. Because mm-hmm. now this genre is exploding. Let's hop on that genre train and make movies kind of like in the same genre. That applies to everything. And when you see, for example, whether it's Christine Fisher or any other female angler that's having success, if let's say a company sponsors this said female angler and that company is having success selling their products, mm-hmm. guess what the competition is going to do? Because they're aware. They're like, oh, this brand is, you know, making money. Let me find a female angler that's going to help me. And then it opens door.
Yeah. So,
and this applies to everything. And it applies to women as well. If you see a woman having a successful at sponsorship, it opens doors for you, because the more success that person has, the more companies are going to say, well, I want that for my company. So let me look for, you know, somebody that fits that brand or fits that mold that we're trying to get. And it may be that it's like, oh, there's Katie Baca. How would we overlook her? Let's sponsor her. Let's see if we can get a product, because she's successful in the same way that another female angle like Christine Fisher, same for you, Wesley. Like, I don't get how people I don't see how people don't see that. Like what you just mentioned, it's like, it helps if you have one niche and there's another group that has the same niche and they're successful, you want them to have success, because that's going to open doors for you to other people see your product, see your brand, because this one is doing the same brand. Even if it's a copycat, it's like, oh, all right. If if Jackhammer, right, the Chatterbaits. How did Chatterbaits all of a sudden become so popular? Seaman bought the rights. They made it. Now every other company feels like, hey, if we need to lift, we need to have a Chatterbait or a bladed jig in our lineup, because that's the thing. It applies to anything. And applying it to this subject, it applies to women too. You know, one woman's success opens the door for other women's success.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
No. You gotta mansplain that? Am I mansplaining now?
No. No.
Okay, cool.
No, I don't think you're mansplaining. You know, I think
this is for general, not for you ladies. You know this already, right? I'm just talking to general public.
No, I think it's an overlooked demographic, right? In the marketing sense. So this is like Wesley's marketing brain, right? You're right, Armando. Mm. Like, Christine has a lot of notoriety and a lot of influence and presence, and that's how she got noticed by companies. And, you know, and she's very successful, and that's, and I don't think Katie and I could be any more excited for her for that. You know what I'm saying? And it has given companies that like the light bulb, like the aha, like, oh wait, there are chicks out here that can do this. And guess what? There's a whole bunch of them. And I mean, just the, like, listen, and Katie probably understands this. The amount of men's fishing clothes that I own is atrocious.
Dude.
Like,
that's all there is. That's all there is. Because it, let's just go off on a slight tangent for like 5 minutes.
There you go. The floor is yours, Katie.
Okay. So those of us out there with big mommy bobbers, we don't fit in standard ladies' clothing. It's just, it's not a thing. I'm sorry.
Dude, I get myself into it.
You just walked right into it. You opened.
I know. I asked for this. I blame Dan and Kurt for calling in sick. Anyways, go ahead.
No, but there is something to be said for that most of us end up wearing like these gigantic t-shirts and gigantic pants because they don't make them in lady sizes, at least not reasonable sizes. You know, like some people are a size 2 and rock on. I have never known that size since I was like 7, but some of us are really muscular and our legs just don't fit into those tiny little clothes. So please, for the love of God, would some fishing apparel companies start, you know, tailoring to the average size?
And they're not thongs.
They're not thongs. Like, I don't want all of my clothes to be so form-fitting that I can't breathe. Like, there is something to be said that, like, there's a reason why I love Mustang's inflatable PFDs. Because it's really hard to cast with a big clunky piece of foam that's over top of some big clunky things. It's hard to move around in this stuff. So there is a need out there for realistic ladies clothing, you know.
I mean, the thing is that is changing, right? Like the lip. I am wearing a men's fishing shirt right now. This is a men's shirt because they don't make crap that's fishing stuff that I'll wear. Well, some of them do. Some places.
Some of them do. But the reality is the stuff that they make for ladies, it's typical lady clothing. It's super tight in the chest. It's super tight in the waist. It's very clingy. It's very, you can't move around in it really well.
It's not functional.
Exactly. The chicks that are like in this, because we're in this, we can't move in that crap that we can't breathe in. Like, it's just not, we're not going to wear it. We're going to rock some like baggy shirts and some baggy hoodies because that stuff is more comfortable.
I shop in the men's fishing section, just FYI. Yep.
That's sexist. It should be a neutral fishing section.
I don't think it is.
It should be.
But you know what? This is the funny part about it. I've gotten men's stuff, but could you imagine the outrage that would happen if men had to shop in the women's section, Armando?
Thank you. See, she just said it. She dropped the mic right there. What would you do? What would you do if that's all you could do? You weren't shopping off of like
Size 32. Hey, I don't feel comfortable going into a Victoria's Secret store. I'm going to say that right now.
Hey, neither do I.
I feel like people are going to be like, oh, who's this creeper here? Like, I'm not sure.
Listen, that place is pink hell.
I was going to say, that place is the devil. You don't need that kind of negativity in your life.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Somebody asked, I lost a comment. I posted up. I think it was... No, it wasn't Cindy. Kathy Polly, I think she asked. I lost your comment, Kathy, but I remember it. What's coming up for you ladies as far as tournaments? And Wesley, you also, you can shout out the, you got something going on at Mariner Sales.
Yeah.
About Women's Fishing Federation, which I want to highlight. I know I'm about to, going to keep you here another hour, but no, talking about this. Listen, but
me and Katie could talk to you all day, Armando.
I was going to say, we'll talk to you all night.
Talk about that. And talk about what's your next tournaments, because that's what Kathy wants. Kathy? Okay,
so Katie,
somebody asked.
The Mariner Sales thing. So Christine and I are doing a kayak fishing seminar, clinic, whatever you want to call it, April 20th. I think it's at like 12 or 12:30. I don't remember the exact time. But we're going to like an in-person live thing. Go to Mariner Sales Facebook page. There's a link to sign up. And I think Christine and I are going to post some stuff on our social media accounts. But, I mean, we're going to be at Mariner Sales for a couple of hours. We're just going to talk all things kayak fishing. It's going to be a ton of fun. We're super excited about that. And then as far as tournaments coming up, let's see. I was looking at my schedule last night, and I'm trying to remember what it is. Like, I think my next tournament's Logan Martin, Lake Norman. I don't remember. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to look at my schedule. My brain is fried.
I was going to say my next national event for Shoresies is going to be I think it's Hobie.
Is it like, this is what happens when you have kids. It's called mom brain.
I know it's going to be on the Susquehanna, whichever one of those.
Oh, that's in July.
That's Bassmaster.
Yeah, that's
Bassmaster. Oh, is it? Okay, then that's
one of them is Bassmaster. I don't know if there's...
Oh, I lied. For me, it's Possum Kingdom. I'm looking at my calendar right now. It's Possum Kingdom.
See, and this is one of those situations where the jealousy comes in. I hate you just a little bit because I can't fish PK anymore. It's not 2 hours away from me. It's like 22 hours away now.
Yeah, so...
Where are you right now, Katie?
Yeah. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We moved...
Oh, that right. That's right. You said that.
Yeah, we moved it.
How far is that from the Susquehanna?
Not that far.
It's like 3 hours.
Ooh, there you go.
It's like from Dallas to PK.
Yeah.
You traded PK for Susquehanna. I mean, that's a good trade-off.
Smallmouth
for largemouth bass or vice versa. Hey,
I'm not going to lie. Like, the only thing I will definitely recommend to anybody, male or female, if you're going to fish a Susquehanna, make sure you have a giant box of Band-Aids on board with you, because those smallies are just going to wreck your hands like while you're out there. The last event that we did out there, I mean, my hands, I looked like I was in a bad way, the amount of puncture wounds I had all over me.
Yeah. The tentative plan, Katie, is for me to be at the Susquehanna, and I think I'm going to bring Alex with me, and there's a slight chance that I'll be up there like the week between Susquehanna and Saginaw Bay. And so me and Alex may do some like upstate New York like fun fishing thing.
If you come through Western Pennsylvania, you know.
Possibility.
I would love to fish the Susquehanna.
You have to come, Armando.
Have you ever fished it?
No.
Oh. Like, you're talking about flying or driving.
We're going to start at have someone drive you a kite, like whatever you need to do. Get there as soon as possible, ASAP.
It's a whole other universe on the Susquehanna. It's like a Possum Kingdom.
You have to do it.
Yes.
You very much have to.
All right. You convinced me. I'm in.
Do it. We're going to hold you that.
There, Armando.
I have to talk to my buddy, the most beloved angler in Pennsylvania. I say that sarcastically, but Jake Harshman.
I was just going to say, you're going to say Jake.
I know that that's what he was talking about. If you say his name three times, he'll be summoned.
God. Oh, God, he's going to show up on the podcast, like now.
No, talk to Jake for sure.
Talk to Jake and to Jeff Little.
Jeff Little,
yeah. Also, yeah, he's a big one on the Susky.
Yes. Yeah.
But the Susky's just fun. I mean, I've fished it once. And listen, the only reason I missed it last year for Bassmaster is because my grandmother passed away. So I just literally could not go. It's okay. I just literally could not go. But yeah, I'm going to do everything humanly possible in my power to be there this year.
Are you going to fly? Are you going to drive?
I think I'm going to drive this year.
Damn, that's going to be like, what, 24 hours? 22, I think.
22.
I was going to say it's got to be done. The last time we fished the Susky, we came from Dallas.
Wesley, for you, it's 24, I think.
Maybe.
Because you're further down. It's 22 hours for me. I already checked.
Relative.
Yeah, no, once you're at 20, it doesn't matter.
No, I mean, I drove 18 hours to La Crosse. Like, what's a few more hours? Absolutely nothing. I have become like a road warrior. Like, I don't care anymore.
There you go. Well, ladies, I've kept you here long enough. So, thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody that commented and is watching. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry I couldn't get to all of your comments. I don't want to put too much comments and then kind of distract from the attention for our guests. So we really appreciate everybody that tuned in. Remember, you can enter the giveaway. We got a catchboard. We have 3 month subscription to the Dark Horse Tackle. That's about $120 worth of baits, no strings attached. And we have a $100 gift card from Mariner Sales. All you have to do is go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, rate the podcast. Make sure you sign your name. You have social media. Add your social media to the comment section of your review. That way we'll know who you are. And the winner will be announced at March 27th in the Advanced Kayak Angler episode that's going to air that day, March 27th. Thank you so much, ladies. I really appreciate it. Any last words?
No, this has been so much fun. Can we do it again?
I was going to say, this has been a blast. We should.
I miss you, Katie.
Like, I know, right? We never get to hang out.
Thank you, Armando, for bringing us together.
Oh, thank you, guys. You guys are amazing. I wish you all the success, with sponsorship, social media, and with tournaments, and with your families, more importantly, and stay safe out there. Everybody that's listening, if you're going to be on the water, wear your PFDs.
Yes.
We'll end it with that. Have a great night, everyone. Peace out.
Bye.
See ya.